And the first is evangelization. Big word that means to make the gospel known. What the evangelists, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John have written to share the good news. And how important that is. We live in a noisy world where the voice of God can so easily be drowned out by the din of our busy lives. And we need to encourage people to listen to the voice of God. We live in a world where technology is increasingly developing so quickly. And technology is such a blessing to our lives, but our technology is tending in our society to create virtual relationships rather than true interpersonal human relationships. And this can carry over into our relationship with God, that we have trouble really entering into an interpersonal relationship with God, who is passionately in love with us and wants so much for us to open our hearts to him. Now, we can know a lot about someone without knowing that person. And our virtual relationships tend to emphasize that, create that. I can know a lot about a person from their Facebook page without knowing them. We can know a lot about God. But in our culture, we need to say very loudly and very effectively, come to know God. Have a real, deep, interpersonal relationship with the Lord Jesus. And this has to come from our own interpersonal relationship. You know, these four priorities I give all presuppose that we are already growing spiritually. These priorities are not about our spiritual growth. They're about how we have to externally put our faith into action. Each one of them presupposes we're already growing in faith, that we're growing spiritually. Before Jesus ascended to heaven and he had his disciples there, the last thing he said to them was what we call the Great Commission. Go out and make disciples of all nations. Go out and make disciples in the southern half of Alabama. That's the commission given to each one of us. Not just the Pope, the bishops, the clergy, the religious. All of us are called to that. And we have to stop being timid about talking about Jesus Christ and how important Jesus is to us and how important the church is to us. At the World Youth Day, Pope Francis said to the young people, go out in the streets and make a mess. Go out and tell people about the Lord. You may not do it perfectly, he was saying, but don't be afraid about messing up. Go out. God knows the first disciples Jesus called weren't perfect and at times made a mess, but they brought out the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, we are very good about telling other people about a good restaurant we found, a good book we read, a good movie we've seen, a good doctor we found. Why would we not share with people how much the Lord has blessed us? I know some people say, well, I don't want to shove my faith down someone else's throat. That's not shoving anything down someone's throat. If I share with someone about, oh, I found a good restaurant, I'm not shoving anything down their throat. I'm not making them go to that restaurant. And telling people about Jesus Christ is not ramming anything down someone's throat or forcing them to do anything. And that's our call. When I was a kid growing up, I lived in a small town. There were about 1,000 people in that town, small town. And I can remember our parish priest would walk down Main Street. And yes, it was called Main Street. And he would stop at each one of the little stores along Main Street and talk to people. It was very effective evangelization that he did because it was personal, one-on-one. Times have changed. We don't tend to shop on Main Street anymore. we tend to shop at the Walmart Supercenter. We don't tend to work in those small stores on Main Street. We tend to work in the 10th floor of an office building. The priest can't stroll through the 10th floor of an office building. Who's there in that 10th floor? The laity. You all. And for that personal one-on-one evangelization to take place, that's the role of the laity today more than ever before. Go out and make disciples of all nations. You know, if we love the Lord, we're going to talk about it. You know, if a young man loves a young woman, or if a young woman loves a young man, you don't have to tell them. You ought to talk about him or about her. They can't help but talk about them. And they want to spend time with them, and they want other people to know about them. If we really have the Lord in our hearts, we're going to want to share it. And so that's the first priority. And what I would ask in our parishes is that, first of all, every parish in our archdiocese should have a youth ministry program. Every parish. And if a parish, just because of personnel resources, doesn't have the ability to have its own youth program, then they ought to actively collaborate with the neighboring parish. That doesn't mean, you know, it doesn't excuse them doing nothing. Work with others. Make it happen. Teenage years, national studies show this, are crucial to the faith development of Catholics. National studies will show that most adults who were raised Catholic but later no longer consider themselves Catholic say they left the church when they were teenagers. You know, I remember reading this study. It was done by CARA, very important, a very reputable group. And I would have thought people would leave the church in their 20s more than any other time. Studies don't show that. They leave in their teenage years, and we need to have youth ministry in our parishes. Every parish should also have a school of religion for the young people who do not attend Catholic schools. And these schools of religion need to offer two things: both knowledge about the faith. What does the faith teach? This faith that has been passed on from the apostles. And formation. Inviting these young people to enter into a personal relationship with Jesus. It can't be one or the other, it has to be both. Knowledge about the good news and growing into a relationship with the one who has brought the good news, Jesus Christ. Every parish should have adult religious education program. Learning and growing the faith is a lifelong process. And every parish needs to not only focus on the young people, but focus on the adults as well. Our Catholic schools are outstanding in sharing the faith. And all of us need to support our Catholic schools. And every parish that has parishioners in a Catholic school needs to support the Catholic school, whether they have that school in their parish or not. It's something that we as a family need to build up. And our parishes must be parishes, not churches. I know some of you all have heard me say, it's one of my little pet peeves among many. I cringe when I hear it be referred to as St. Philomena Church, Catholic Church. That's Protestant. It's St. Philomena Parish. You know, when we're such a small minority, we tend to pick up Protestant terminology. I remember one time when I was a bishop in Mississippi, I was visiting a parish, talking with a lifelong Catholic, a good Catholic, and this lady said to me, "Oh, Bishop, I really like our new preacher." And he has got me so involved here in the church. She says, "I'm teaching Sunday school now in our fellowship hall." Where do you start? But you don't hear about First Baptist Parish. You don't hear about United Methodist Parish. But for us, we are parishes. And what we call things make a difference. Because you see, when we say we're a church, what's the mindset? If you come here and be part of our congregation, you're part of the church. But a parish says, we're part of this area. And that we are responsible for everyone in this area. We need to be concerned about our parish. And that's the Catholic mentality that we can't lose. And it does make a difference. I'll give you a sad example. Years ago when I was serving in the Archdiocese of New Orleans, I remember there was a family who lived out in the suburbs, but they didn't go to their parish church for Mass. They drove all the way downtown to attend a Latin Mass in another parish. Well, one night, sadly, there was an medical emergency that they had. And so, who did that family call? Not the pastor downtown, too far away. They called their local pastor. And he told them, I'm not coming. He says, you don't come to our church. You call that pastor downtown that you go to his church. Well, and the archbishop found out about this. He called that pastor. The archbishop was very upset. And the pastor said to him, Archbishop, I am pastor of this church and they don't come here. The archbishop said, you're not the pastor of that church, you're the pastor of that parish. You're responsible for everyone in that parish, whether they choose to come to your church for Mass or not. You're the pastor of a parish. And you needed to go to that family that night because they're your parishioners, whether they come to Mass or not. And that's the difference between being a church and a parish. And we need to be parish and understand that all of us belong here in this parish. And I say that being very mindful, for example, of our Hispanic brothers and sisters. They're parishioners too. You know, I cringe when I hear someone say, oh yes, we have a Mass in our parish where those people can come and have Mass. They're not those people. They're our parishioners. They're part of the family. No matter how well we learn another language, we want to pray in the language that we were taught as a child. I remember years ago, there was a lady in the parish where I was, and when she'd come to confession, she confessed in English. Her English was perfect. She didn't even have an accent. But she had been raised in Czechoslovakia. She spoke Czech. And when I'd ask her to pray the act of contrition, it was in Czech. God speaks Czech as far as she was concerned. Because that's the language she was taught her prayers. And no matter how well we learn another language, God speaks the language of our childhood. And if our parishioners, some want to pray in the language of their childhood, find their parishioners. They're not strangers. Our parishioners who are in prison are still our parishioners. And real conversions can happen in prisons, and I would hope that more of our people would become involved in prison ministry. It's a difficult ministry, but such a rewarding one. The point is, we are parishes, and we're responsible, and we are in union with everyone in our parishes. I would ask, as part of evangelization, that our parishes examine our sacred liturgy, how we celebrate worship, because that's very evangelizing as well. And particularly when we pray at Mass, that we respect the quiet times at Mass. And I'll give you an example. You know, after communion, the church asks us to have that as a quiet time before the closing prayer. That is not the time for the second collection. That is not the time for announcements. It's a time to pray. Quietly, we have just received the Eucharist. We should respect that as what it's called to be. That is evangelizing. As people come in to a Catholic Mass to realize here we really believe the Lord is present and that we have just received Him. mindful that preaching is so important to evangelization. We encourage ourselves as priests to grow in that, and we will have continuing education next year for all our priests in preaching. Not because that our priests are not good at preaching, quite the opposite. But we can always enhance it. I would urge our parishes to look at the liturgy. And three things attract people to Mass. One is the welcome they receive when they arrive. Second is the music, and third is the preaching. National studies will show that. What is our welcome in our parish church? What is the quality of the music? What is the quality of the preaching? And we need to continue to support, as the support is already so good, but we can always be mindful of the need to support those evangelizing instruments in our midst that so bless us. The Catholic Week, Archangel Radio, Catholic in America TV program, the different retreat programs that we have. Go out and make disciples of all nations.